Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, let's quickly just get a comment on what the U.S. equity markets are doing today. The markets across the board opened the day much higher, but have been steadily selling off throughout the day. In the last couple of minutes, we have gotten a little bit of a bounce, but the fact of the matter is, right now, at least in the first couple hours of trading, the trend seems to be down today. This doesn't seem to be a day where the markets open higher and keep on running higher. What do you think is at play here?
Well, the running higher is pretty much petered out, Corey. You and I talked about this a little bit yesterday and even last week, but I think that most of the process of correcting the overshoot to the downside, as I called it in an email I sent to my members this morning, is pretty much done with. And so the next question here, all right, now we've bounced from being oversold. Now the market is trying to figure out where it should be priced for 2019. And we don't have all the answers yet to that question. The good answer that we did get recently, of course, was the Fed. Of course, if we saw the markets roaring back, then the Fed would probably be back in the game to tighten. So, but for the time being, as the market tries to slug out a new lower trading range, the Fed's going to be on the sidelines by and large. China, which we'll talk about in a minute, that is less bad as far as the markets are concerned, and the markets are hoping that it gets to actually become good news before the end of this month. And otherwise, corporate earnings season is going to start shortly. It'll be interesting to see who reports what, how much damage did the strong dollar of 2018 do, how much optimism the companies have that they're going to do better this year if the dollar has really peaked, and where are we going to see downgrades come from? We've all heard the Apple news, which is as much an individual story about what Apple has done wrong than it is a global growth story, though it is that also. More disturbingly, from my standpoint, we've heard from Federal Express and some other, companies that I think better reflect the overall health of the national and global economy. So, the question, again, getting back to what I said a minute ago, is where should the market be priced for a lower growth world where things are still very weak overseas? They're healthy in the U.S., but less so than a year ago, but where it's not the dire situation maybe that the markets were starting to price in last month. We don't know where that range is going to be. I think part of getting to that range will be that a lot of the internal subsectors of the market that are better valued will do very well, even if the overall market indices just kind of mark time. That's the environment that I think is the best and highest probability one.
Okay, that's very similar to what we also touched on yesterday, but I do want to talk a lot about what's going on with these U.S.-China trade talks. We're in our second day right now. There are few details that have emerged, but the more we hear out of U.S., I would say the more, again, we're hearing optimistic comments that something might be done, even if it is just a process, one thing at a time. What do you think? What are your hopes that we see out of these negotiations?
Well, again, you put it well. It's got to be a process. It's going to be one thing at a time. Anybody that thinks there's going to be some remarkable breakthrough is probably going to be wrong. What markets, I think, want to see is that there is at least the level of will on both sides to forge the beginning of the end of this trade war. There is a lot of moving parts to it that you and I have talked about numerous times. I've written about this extensively in trying to get people to understand just what the stakes are for both countries. A more dire situation, as I've pointed out all along, where China is concerned, Corey. So, I mean, all you had come out this morning when these 2 days of talks concluded was the operative phrase that most of the news services are reporting is one of, quote, narrowing differences. Whatever that means. So the difference is that the U.S. and China still have, by definition, and by the implication of that term, they're narrowing. They're getting closer to where they want to be. Fine, that's wonderful. So you're going to have another round of talks shortly. You're going to have the president meeting in Davos with, I think it's the vice premier or vice president of China towards the end of the month or at the end of the month. And so we'll see what takes place between now and then. To me, a really pivotal clue of where the U.S. team hopefully is was given by Wilbur Ross yesterday morning when he was on CNBC and talking about what the stakes are with where China's concerned. And as I suggested, first off, many weeks ago, I think that those pragmatists and the ones who are motivated only by business within the Trump administration realize that if they're going to get any kind of a framework put together at all, they need to do it in a process that's just more than one step. Number one, that they will settle the tariff and trade issues over things like LNG, agricultural products, tariffs, and so forth on merchandise. That's by far and away the easy one to do, and frankly, a lot of work has been done on that already, especially by China. That would be one if they announce that. You get less pressure on commodity markets, which may respond favorably, and less worries about that type of thing undermining the transaction of hard goods the world over, which would lead to a recession. So that's number one. Where there's going to be some pushback in the Trump administration is where Ross says we can do that and then put into separate negotiations the 142 different structural reform items, technology things, and some things that border on the military and geopolitical that all remain bones of contention with China for various reasons. There are those who don't want any deal of any kind, even on merchandise issues, until all the rest of this is done. That's probably not realistic. You can argue whether we should take a hard position or shouldn't. But if you are motivated by a desire to see the global economy remain healthy, global markets remain healthy, then you hope that things turn out like Wilbur Ross said yesterday. So we'll see what happens. You know, Ross did come out and say that one of the chronic problems with China over the years is that China has been allowed much longer than should ever have been tolerated to play fast and loose with the rules. They've done slipshod work. Whether it's in Ecuador, which I follow, as you well know closely, where they slapped together a hydro project down there, which Ecuador owes them a lot of money for, and the thing's not even functional. It's a piece of garbage, engineering-wise. China does this all over the world, where they can get away with it. They throw things together, undercut everybody else as far as costs are concerned, and you end up with something that's no good. There's even questions, again, over in Britain, about whether China is going to have any hand in building that new Hinkley Point nuclear reactor. So, you know, the process in the end should be one of if everybody wants to play ball with China, China wants to play ball as a legitimate first world nation with the rest of the world, then there's a lot of these things that need to be corrected. And it's not going to be done in one step. So we'll see how this turns out. The bottom line, as I've said many times, is that do we have a process, which I think President Trump wants, where you have this step-by-step deal and resolution of a lot of these issues that Wilbur Ross telegraphed yesterday, or do the Navarros and the Kyle Basses and the deep state functionaries of the world get their wish and we really go to the mat with China because we want to cripple them in every way?
Yeah, we just don't know how that is going to play out, but it is important to understand that this is turning out to be a very big negotiation. They aren't just, it doesn't seem like at least right now, trying to ease around topics. It sounds like they're trying to sort out a lot of different areas, but hey, we will see how that all ends up. Let's just get a little more color on some of the sectors that you think will be impacted the most. You mentioned commodities. I assume that means base metals, even energy. Are there any other sectors, or do you want to discuss a little bit more where you see that sweet spot being for maybe where investors can take some positions if we do get some progress?
Well, number one, in my book for a while now, Corey, has been energy stocks. They've already had a very, very nice rally in the recent past with some of the ETFs I recommended as trades. I've told my members to back off just a little bit today. We've probably had most of the easy money made from the bottom that we're going to have, and now we're going to have to start managing and picking and choosing just a bit more. I think base metals are going to be more dependent on some breakthrough and actual deal on the merchandise trade and tariff issues with China. If we get that, then I think the next big moves come. Now, we've already had some decent rallies in some of the base metal producers. You know, BHP has had a nice run. I wish I would have recommended it at the bottom, but it's not going to shock me if we get another crack at that at a lower price. So we'll see what happens. I think that's going to be much more dependent on the China story than has been the case with energy stocks that, in relative terms, in my view, got way more oversold. Let's not forget, and speaking still to the base metals and to this whole idea of what kind of global growth we can expect, even with a decent resolution with China, the underlying macro story still is and will continue to be one of a world that is choking on too high levels of debt. Whatever happens with the trade negotiations, the best case scenario is that we're going to be in this slow, dull ache, this slog where maybe we don't have a full-on global recession, but growth is anemic, corporate profits have more pressure on them, and we're going to have to get used to lower levels, generally speaking, for example, the stock market. Not a crash, not a secular bear market, full-on one necessarily right away, but we're not going to see 3,000 on the S&P 500 either. I mean, you know, I held out a couple of possibilities this morning to my members. Do we get back up to the 50-day moving average, maybe even consolidate, move higher, and we have a new best-case scenario trading range for the S&P this year, maybe 2,600 to 2,800, or is 2,600 going to be the top of a new trading range, with the bottom of that trading range being the December lows? If things don't go well, if we get a tag team of lousy earnings reports and so forth, we just don't know yet.
Exactly. We don't know. There's a lot of question marks, but at least right now it does seem like there might be some progress being made. At least the parties are at the table. We can say that. And yeah. I think that there is some motivation on both sides to start to get something done here. But hey, we all know how sideways some of these talks can go.
But again, Corey, for the base metals, to sum that up in case I didn't make it clear, a lot more still needs to happen to make them, in a broad sense, buys, in my opinion. There's not enough in front of us yet for me to be really confident, relatively speaking, as much as I have been lately with the energy stocks.
Okay. There we go. We'll leave it at that. Chris, good comments. Thanks again for taking some time and breaking down mostly what this U.S.-China trade talk could mean for some of these markets. But again, it's going to be a process. Have a great rest of your day, Chris.